WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Robert Cremo, the man charged with shooting and killing seven people at a suburban Chicago July 4th parade in 2022, stops his trial just as it was getting going with testimony. WBBM radio reporter Nancy Hardy.
The 24-year-old has pleaded guilty to all 69 counts against him. That's 21 counts of murder and 48 counts of attempted murder.
Two people are dead after police say a driver rammed a car into a crowd in Mannheim, Germany. A suspect is in custody. Scientists and experts at NOAA protest their firing this morning in Maryland.
We have had enough.
Some federal workers face a second deadline tonight to explain what they do to Elon Musk. Thousands of people are out of their homes in the Carolinas because of dozens of wildfires. Others are on edge.
It's been surreal. I mean, they keep popping up, these little things do, and you don't know if they're going to come to your house or the next neighbor's house.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With warmer temperatures sweeping across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has ended the frozen road declaration for the entire state. The declaration allows trucks to carry heavier loads in the winter, as the frozen roads are more resilient to the damage caused by the increased weights. With those roads thawing out, however, they could again be susceptible to damage from heavier trucks. Local municipalities are responsible for deciding weight restrictions on their roads and can now start implementing those restrictions again. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to apply for the 2025 elk hunt. According to a press release, the application period for the hunt is open from March 1st until May 31st. Residents can purchase the elk license application online through the Go Wild license portal or in person through a licensed sales agent. When filling out the application, potential hunters will be asked to select the specific zone they're applying for. DNR officials say this year's elk hunt will include more opportunities in the Black River Elk Range. The city of Rice Lake is still seeking input from community members on the potential purchase of the National Guard Armory. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs offered to sell the site to the city, which is considering using it as a community center, senior center, or for affordable housing. According to a survey conducted by the Rice Lake Chronotype, none of the plans for the facility have become a clear frontrunner from the public. The city has not made an offer for the property yet, but was given the right of first refusal from the agency. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced approval for a project to replace the bridge carrying 50th Avenue over Wisconsin 29 in the town of Lafayette. According to a press release, Governor Evers signed an over $5 million contract with Haas Sun Inc. for the replacement project. Construction on the bridge is scheduled to begin on March 10th, and work on the intersection of 50th Avenue and County Highway J will begin on March 17th. Construction is scheduled to wrap up in September, and the area will remain mostly open to traffic. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just got to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but you know, this, we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing and a chance of spotty sprinkles. High temperatures still smack 50 degrees and tonight stay above freezing. With a few scattered showers tomorrow morning, rain really ramps up tomorrow night. Then it flips to snow on Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trey Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is so well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastree to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you're interested in signing up for news updates in your local community, wherever you are, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Amory.
Sorry. You know what, Jay, can I just apologize to you, to Dan, I think to Pat Kreitlow as well, and I think Todd Alba. My brain has been other places and it hasn't been Amory. Because I've been given the tee up, the hook shot, assist, whatever, sports, and I'm just sitting there going, Amory, yeah. Amory. Isn't that a lovely place,
Amory? We kind of got out of the habit. It's fine.
So where can you get it, Jane?
You can get it in Amory.
Amory.
Grab the Civic Media app for free.
Okay.
And then you can select communities across the state where you want to get news stories from our great local and statewide news team. We've got folks all over the state. And in a time when local newspapers and other local news outlets are dying, we really try hard to have folks on the ground. So yes. Sign up for it. Get the Civic Media app. It's completely free. And then just select which communities you want to get your news updates from. Our news team does a really great job. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Rachel Campos Duffy, our new transportation secretary's wife, Sean Duffy, she has thoughts.
Queen Road Rules.
She has thoughts. So we're going to kick that around a little bit. After the 11:30 news, as we always do, we'll lighten it up. Should we have clocks in public anymore?
Nothing but the hardest hitting
reporting.
Well,
that's why I say we're going to lighten it up for the last half hour. And then we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. I did want to cover this because I think that's one of those things that happened on a Friday and it tends to go under the radar and then it's forgotten about until they surface, probably within the Trump administration. The Tate brothers are back in the United States, Andrew and Tristan Tate. They had been in Romania for several years where they are facing numerous charges for sex trafficking and rape.
Organized crime.
Under pressure from the Trump administration, because apparently Barron Trump is a big fan. They are now back in the United States. They're in Florida.
I just want to, one side note to this, I don't know if you read this, but Ron DeSantis is very unhappy about this.
Okay.
I don't know. I just love that. I just, for some reason, like, oh, so that's the thing.
Well, and he'll get over it.
But I just want to know, I keep on reading this under pressure from the Trump White House. What do we have on Romania where they're like, oh, no, not the United States of America. Let the two little kickboxer boys go. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what the pressure was because these are like the story will be in the show notes. These are serious charges. And let's not forget the charges they are being accused of, the crimes they are being accused of. Over here, people of the Republican Party, anytime you have to talk about, I mean, trafficking, are you kidding me?
Sex trafficking?
They couldn't shut up about trafficking for the past 2 years, even though everywhere they turned, all their leaders were being busted for some sort of either molestation, abuse, or trafficking. But these guys, they're okay.
They're fine.
They're fine, Jane.
Barron likes them.
They're not drag queens. What do we care?
Yeah, or trans. Yeah, Barron Trump is a big fan. So let's get to know the Tate brothers a little bit in case you're unfamiliar. And I suggest if you have a son who's between 18 and 24 or a grandson even younger.
I would say probably middle school.
They know who these guys are.
Absolutely.
Andrew Tate is a British-American former kickboxer. He has 8.5 million followers on Twitter alone. He uses his platform to give his views on rape, relationships, and power. Tate says he is absolutely a misogynist, and he teaches his followers that women are inferior, morally deficient human beings who are good only for sex and status building and who deserve to be physically, sexually, and emotionally abused. Tate posts instructional videos online. You can subscribe to Hustlers University, Greg.
That's what I was looking for.
Hustlers University. Subscribers pay $50 a month, $8,000 annually for these valuable lessons from Andrew Tate. If a woman accuses a man of cheating, according to Andrew Tate, there's only one appropriate response. Bang out the machete, boom her in the face, grip her by the neck, what's up, B, biatch, and then you go screw her. That's how it goes. You go slap, slap, grab, choke, shut up, bitch, sex. Videos of Tate have been viewed 11.6 billion times.
He shows up on my timeline all the time, and I don't subscribe to anything. I hate the things I see when he comes across. And him and his brother. I mean, let his little brother Tristan, who is like that little. Which way were we going, boss? Which way were we going, boss? Yeah. He's a hanger on. But he loves every minute of it.
Well, of course they do. Andrew and his brother Tristan are facing multiple charges in Romania, including sex trafficking, rape, forming an organized criminal group. They were arrested in 2022, are accused of exploiting women from Romania, the U.S., and Britain by seducing them with the promise of a relationship, then holding them against their will, filming them engaging in sex, and then selling the videos. Prosecutors allege Tate raped at least one of the women repeatedly, controlled them by threatening with violence and financial ruin, and then posting their porn videos to the women's social media accounts. All the best people.
All the best people. These two words I cannot say right now. So you go on TikTok, you've gone on Instagram, you've seen reels and these videos. You see these videos from Trumpy dudes, men, manly men.
Alpha males.
Apparently there can only be one, but there's alpha males. There's two of them or more. But this notion of, if you mistreat my daughter, or if you mistreat a woman, or America does, this real bloviated, bang-your-chest type of man. But for some reason, they like these guys.
They love these guys.
Because it's not their daughter. It's not their wife. It's not their friend. But it's this total hypocrisy of the manly man, alpha male, who says, I will protect my family, but these guys are cool. Why are these guys cool? I guess, because, one, Jane, I'm a beta male, first of all. I've been told this many times on this show.
I know.
Many times. Beta, Omega, whatever the...
Zeta.
Zeta. Ooh. Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't know. But my point is I can never figure out the hypocrisy. People who text us on the show, drop comments on the live stream, talking about how amazing Trump is and how awesome this new... alpha male.
Manly manliness.
Manly manly. But yet they hurt women in such direct and... I don't understand how why these Trumpian men wouldn't want to hunt these two dudes down and say, you don't hurt women. This isn't the way we do it here in America.
Aren't they the antithesis of what a real man is?
Yes.
Aren't they the complete opposite of what, at least from what my father raised my brothers to be?
Yes.
Maybe I'll have to double check with my brother and find out, did dad tell you to slap her and then beat her and then have sex with her? For some reason, I don't think that was the message my dad was giving to my brothers.
And I want to apologize for all the stuttering, but these two men set me off so hard because I see their videos and it would be a movie if it wasn't them. These are movie villains, like real movie villains. Yet, I guess because Barron Trump likes them.
Barron's a fan. So is Charlie Kirk.
Well,
and I saw it was Alina Haba who was there again, a lawyer for Trump. Alina Haba, who was there when the Tates landed in Florida, and she told them what a big fan she is of their shows. She's a fan.
I think it's because honestly, a lot of these individuals think it's an act. They see it all as an act because nowadays it's all about the grift, and social media is about being an influencer, quote unquote. And you do what you can to make money, get followers, get famous and popular. I'll bet you there's a great deal of people who think,
oh, it's just a joke.
It's a put on. It's a joke.
It's just a joke.
Yes.
Women find it so hilarious. I guess my biggest issue with this, I am so tired of hearing Republicans say that they are all about protecting and looking out for women. They're going to protect women from having the 0.00001% of trans athletes. They're going to stop that person from competing against their daughter. But they support the guy who supports these guys coming back to the United States. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. Galvin, you are closest in age probably to folks who follow Andrew and Tristan Tate. What do you hear about them? What do you hear in your sphere?
I don't know. Most of my friends don't really talk about this kind of thing. I hope and pray that they stay away from it. I mean, it's just gross, and I don't really have much of an explanation for it other than guys are lonely and want to blame someone else than themselves.
And that's a different topic, and we have talked about, we have touched on that, and we will continue to do so. But again, if you have sons or grandsons, ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them if they know who Andrew and Tristan Tate are. And ask them why they watch them and what they get out of watching them. I'd be very, very curious to hear their responses.
Yeah. I also, if these grandsons have sisters, what would you think if that happened to your sister? What would you happen if your friend? I just don't understand. It boggles. You said it so much clearer than I did, Jane. I'm trying to find words. This as a man, this upsets me in ways that I can't make clear because these two men lead a poisonous legion of men who just need help.
I know we have advocates out there, guys. I know there's a whole bunch of good guys out there. We just have to keep at it. Cassandra says, by the way, you get all the letters, Greg. You're awesome.
Yay.
We have a break coming up when we return. Wise words from the wife of our new transportation secretary about handwriting. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you looking for an easy way to get a daily detox? Pharmacist, best-selling author, and nutrition expert Sherry Torkos explains why Active Liver is the perfect solution.
The liver is an incredible organ. It works nonstop to process toxins and chemicals from our food and drinks, medications we take, and even environmental exposures. As a health expert, I'm often asked how to support the liver's natural detoxification process and offset the effects of fatty foods, sugar, and alcohol. I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. This gentle, plant-based supplement is an effective way to support your liver's vital functions, as well as your energy and overall well-being.
With its powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, Active Liver is the perfect way to get an easy daily detox to keep you healthy and feeling your best. Active Liver is available in both a delicious gummy or tablet. You can find Active Liver in the vitamin aisle at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I see the writing on the wall.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after the 11:30 news. Lightening it up. Do we need clocks in public?
Sell I want stems. To see all the comments, like just break out, like brother versus brother.
This came to me when I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago in Milwaukee County. But we'll kick that around after the 11:30 news. Clocks in public, do we need them anymore? And then we'll wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition, so stick around for that. I did want to take a little moment just to address this because I saw it yesterday and it made me snort. Headline reads from David Edwards on MSN.com. Fox News, Democrats conspiring to end cursive writing so kids can't read Constitution.
Oh, that's where I wish I had the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme right there. Dang.
During a Sunday segment on Fake News Weekend, Rachel Campos Duffy.
She has 9 kids.
She does. She's going to be having nice roads around her house soon.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's right, because Sean Duffy, your husband, now the head of transportation, thinks federal dollars should go to where people are getting married and having the most babies. But anyway, Rachel Campos Duffy on Sunday noted that one Idaho bill will force schools to teach cursive in elementary classes. Campos Duffy said, "So you guys, I didn't realize this is a generational thing. Where have you been? I talked to our producers who are a lot younger than us, and some said they don't write in cursive. They don't even know how." Mm-hmm. Rachel Campos Duffy says that the reason we're not teaching cursive in class anymore is because Democrats don't want kids to be able to read the original Constitution. Thankfully, Rachel, I have a little pocket Constitution that I carry with me. And you know what, Greg?
What?
It's not in cursive.
It's not handwritten?
It's not. It is printed.
What?
Co-host Peter Ducey said that former President Joe Biden had bad handwriting. Quote, "But you know, one of my favorite conspiracy theories, and I kind of believe it, is the reason Democrats don't want people to learn how to write cursive is so they can't read the actual Constitution. Like when they go on a tour of Independence Hall, this could be National Treasure 3, Ducey said. "I'm here. I want to steal the document, but I don't know which one is right because I can't read cursive."
I'm really thinking, Jane, that we could be on that show We have so much fun. It does not take any talent to be like, you do not have to talk about anything about on that show.
Just come up with a squirrel.
Yeah. Oh God.
They are great with coming up with squirrels.
So she said it's a generational thing.
And it is a generational thing.
Correct.
And it has been a generational thing for a long time.
Well, and generations that, I mean, and the, what I'm thinking about, she has 9 children. She literally has 2 generations of children because her oldest is 25 years old. She would have known at some point that kids were not learning cursive.
Unless she's just not very involved with her children.
Not involved, or she sends them to that special super duper cursive private school.
Special cursive tutor.
Especially the special cursive tutor. I remember when Wisconsin, at least about a decade ago, phased out cursive. And I was upset because I love good handwriting. I have great handwriting.
Oh, good for you. I love
good penmanship. I love good quill.
It's a skill.
And so I got all off my high horse about it. And my friend who is a public school teacher said, "You don't understand what not having to do this will do for teachers.
If they don't have to spend time on teaching cursive."
Exactly. Something that is not useful in the outside world that will not be used in jobs unless you're, you know, a handwriting technology person. You don't have to worry about this. Therefore, we don't need to teach this. And when she explained, I'm like, yep, makes sense.
Calvin?
When I learned cursive in school, it was, I guess I was explained, the purpose of it is because it's faster than writing normally. And so I guess my point, like, I think it's pointless to teach kids. If they want to learn how to do cursive, it's not even something to learn. Just write normally, but don't pick your pencil up. That's basically what cursive is.
If you want to learn cursive, you can do it at home. There's lots of, it's called YouTube.
You
teach your kid cursive if you want, but the teachers shouldn't have to teach them these things. And this notion of a grown adult, especially Nicolas Cage or someone our age, we could read cursive. But I've seen the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's horrible looking.
It really is.
It is like almost blank.
It's very difficult to read.
Yeah.
Even if you can read cursive. Cassandra on the text line, "My mother was raised writing in cursive. Her name is Dale, but her nickname at a previous job was Dave because no one could read her name."
Well, this is the thing. You want to take it one step further? Look at how they spelled words back then. They used F's instead of S's. Like the way they formed letters, totally different.
Yeah.
So I know this is all a joke, and I know they're too stupid to live sometimes on some of the things they talk about. But this is the problem you were saying. This is a squirrel.
It's a squirrel, and they spent an entire segment on this on a Sunday morning, and now people walk away from watching them going, "Democrats hate
exactly
because they hate the Constitution." Okay. Mark from Prairie du Sac, we're up against the clock, Mark, but thank you for joining us. Go ahead. What do you want to say about this?
Well, she probably couldn't explain why they have capitalization in the middle of sentences in print versions of the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, because that's how they used emphasis. They didn't have bold print when they printed things. It was just one color of print. I mean, it just, and you just put it out, S's look like F's in the script. I mean, it is just ridiculous. I think people should learn to, I didn't know how to write in cursive, and I actually had really good handwriting before neuropathy settled in my hands as a result of my chemotherapy, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, she needs to pull her head out of
out of a road RV toilet. I don't know.
That could be. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. All right. News is coming up next when we come back. Clocks in public, yay or nay. It's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Excuse me if I cry, but I see the writing on the wall. It's not too hard to read.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Dane County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to launch a new program aimed at giving incarcerated mothers and their infants more time together. The lawsuit was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin and cited a 1991 law requiring the Department of Corrections to provide a mother-young child care program for incarcerated individuals with a child under 1 year old. The program would include accommodations for mothers to be in the least restrictive confinement possible to care for their child. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing increases in fees for fish, game, and wildlife licenses in his biennial budget proposal. Under the proposal, the price of most of the licenses and tags would increase by $10 to $20. Some of those increases would essentially double the costs for specific licenses, including resident deer, resident small game, and resident trapping. DNR officials say the last time license fees were increased for residents was in 2005, but Governor Evers' last biennial budget increased fees for non-residents only. The Dunn County Humane Society is inviting community members to a fundraising event this weekend. The organization will host the Heart of Dunn County fundraiser at the Mabel Tainter Theater this Saturday, offering residents the chance to view work from local artists with music, food, and a live auction. The funds raised from the event will go towards shelter services, specifically medical care for their animals and adoption efforts. Residents can find more information on the event and purchase their tickets in advance on the DCHS website. Aspirus Health officials say the organization has finalized the purchase of 22 acres of land in Chippewa Falls for their new hospital facility. The organization recently received the final needed approvals from the city and Chippewa County and now expects to break ground on the project this spring. They also say the facility could be fully operational in as little as 18 months following the start of construction. The hospital will be located on Chippewa Crossing Boulevard and feature emergency services, inpatient care, lab services, and imaging services. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing and a chance of spotty sprinkles. High temperatures still smack 50 degrees and tonight stay above freezing. With a few scattered showers tomorrow morning, rain really ramps up tomorrow night. Then it flips to snow on Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. The number is the same whether you call or you text. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball in action today. The crew at the Reds. Broadcast begins at 6:55. You can listen to the game on WRCE in Richland Center, on WISS in Oshkosh, and also WBZH in Hayward. Brewers and the Reds tonight, 6:55. Broadcast start. You can check it out on those Civic Media radio stations. Coming up to wrap up the show, as it always is, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Hanky Spanky edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we've been kicking this around for a couple of weeks before we've gotten on the air. And I'm genuinely curious.
Okay.
And so this came up a couple of weeks ago. I served on jury duty in Milwaukee County.
Yes.
Ultimately, I was not selected.
Oh.
But what I noticed, because they were at least 120 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big auditorium, and then there's like two other rooms where you can go wander around, but otherwise you're kind of stuck in this area.
Yeah.
As they're selecting the jury.
We watched Must Love Dogs when I did it that time.
Oh, remember? Did you?
Oh yeah, it was great.
I love it. So there was I was the last group.
Yeah.
So you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were there until 4 o'clock in the afternoon until they released us. But you do a lot of wandering around and pacing around.
Yeah.
And there were three different clocks in these spaces at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. Two of them did not work. There was one working clock.
Yeah.
And first of all, I thought, well, Milwaukee County's got money problems. They don't want to replace batteries. I get it. I get it. But then maybe take them down. Because if it's there, maybe it's just me. If the clock is there, I will look at the clock. But it started me thinking about, do we need clocks in public anymore? Because everybody's got a clock on their phone.
Or a smartwatch.
So I'm curious. 855-752-4842. Do we still need clocks in public? I love clocks.
Okay.
I really do. I think clocks are beautiful. I think the whole story of clocks is fascinating. I've been to clock museums, so maybe I'm a little of an outlier.
Folks, we're going deeper than I expected, honestly. I thought we were just going to talk about clocks and their utilitarian.
No, there's a great clock museum in Vienna. It's fantastic.
Birds and clocks.
Birds and clocks. This is my thing. But how do you feel about clocks? Do we need clocks in public anymore because of smartphones and smartwatches? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Clocks, how do you feel about them? Yay, nay, don't need them anymore. Let's move on. Let's go back to sundials. I don't know.
Well, when you were walking around, at least you had time in your lunch break to go down to the cafeteria and enjoy
the cafeteria was closed.
I know. I just wanted to just say that out loud. I love that. You're like, they broke us for lunch, but the cafeteria's closed.
And they gave us, and it was the week that it was super cold.
Yeah.
And they gave us a list of restaurants that were all within 10 blocks.
Yeah.
I didn't go for lunch.
Do you think there'd be a food truck? There's some food trucks out there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Clocks. Do we need them in public anymore?
Oh, boy. There's opinions.
855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about clocks?
First, I have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were able to talk to the judge about his gavel.
That sounds like a personal question.
Talked about it making that certain sound.
Oh, with a dun-dun?
We're going to speak to him.
You know what, Ollie? I never got in front of the judge. They dismissed that whole last group before we even got in front of the lawyers to get questioned to be selected. So I never got the opportunity, unfortunately.
Well, darn it. That's a shame.
I know.
Anyway, I think we should definitely keep clocks. A lot of people don't wear wristwatches, and like you, I always look for a clock. And a lot of people don't have watches or necessarily have phones that they can look at. So I think clocks are definitely important, as are batteries.
Yeah.
True.
Yes, batteries and electricity are kind of important with clocks, unless you have one of those wind-up ones.
Is it that? I don't know. Do we have an example of the sound from Law and Order sound at all? Oh, he's Calvin. I thought Calvin was. I saw Calvin like brewing, bubbling there, and
thought he would grab it real quick.
Yeah.
Next time I get in front of a judge, Ollie, hopefully it won't be for me. I'll ask him about getting the dun dun.
I just imagine you calling them, being like, I asked the question. How'd it go? I'm in jail right now.
Because I got sassy with the judge. Kathleen from River Hills is on the line. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about clocks?
I love clocks.
I do, too.
And granted, I'm of an older generation, but I wear both the watch and I have a smartphone. Oh, excuse me. I climbed the stairs just now.
I get it, Kathleen.
And what I can tell you is I also tutor in MPS, and it's not MPS alone. I find this even in my grandson's school. They don't know how to read clock. They look at me blankly, and yet they want to know what time it is. These grade schoolers, many kids' families can't afford to give them watches or smartphones.
Sure, that's a good point.
And if we had functioning clocks, and we taught them how to read a clock face, which I do every time I encounter this, of course, they would have more tools at their disposal. And quite frankly, we need to give those with less privileges than us every tool we can. And buying batteries for clocks doesn't strike me as excessive.
You know what, Kathleen? If I had only had a couple of batteries on me, I would have climbed up there and changed the batteries myself. I probably would have ended up in front of the judge.
I was going to say something going,
hey, not a good idea.
What are you doing? That's my job.
Thank you, Kathleen. Really appreciate it. Thank you for being a teacher. You're a saint. Clocks, yes or no? Do we need clocks in public? 855-752-4842. I love clocks.
Yeah.
Do you have clocks? I am like, pro clock.
Okay, good.
I am. I have more clocks than we need.
Then I have a question for the listeners. I want to hear from the anti-clock people.
Okay.
Who clocks are just an impediment on their life.
We don't need them.
It's a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Waste of batteries. We have a whole bunch of texts coming in. Megan from Sun Prairie listening in Madison on WMDX. Clocks should stay. Especially in train stations and airports, people don't always have a free hand to check their smart devices while traveling if they are in a rush. Mark from Prairie du Sac, the Piggly Wiggly in Sauk City, has an analog clock over the main door, and I like it. Brian from Green Bay is on the phone, 855-752-4842. Thanks for joining us, Brian, and checking in on this very important topic. Clocks in public, yay or nay?
Thanks for having me on. You can ignore my text that I also sent in. Lambeau Field, the clock is actually 10 minutes fast, the giant one at Lambeau Field, for a reason. So it's set on Lombardi time that if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. So
the
biggest clock in Green Bay is purposely off.
Seriously?
I love that.
So next time you go up there, look at it. We always tell people that, and they never know why. I know you'll seem smarter, but I don't have time for this clock conversation.
Ain't nobody got time for clocks.
I have things to do. I have things to do. Leave me alone.
I love that. I adhere to the whole if you're on time, you're late. I love that because I hold myself to that too. I'm not.
Are you usually early?
I'm usually early or on time, which then I consider myself to be late. But I'm a huge aversion to tardiness.
Cam from Appleton, yes, but make them cursive clocks. Sassy thing.
Wouldn't cursive clocks just be ones with the faces instead of like digital then?
John from Hubertus, the world would be a happier place if everyone had a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
Ben from Richland Center listening on WRCE, traveling through large airports, which seems to take forever. You're absolutely right about that. If you have to change terminals and stuff, I do want to glance up and see the time instead of always having to look at my stupid phone.
Jeff listening on the live stream said I was recently in Grand Central Terminal and it said it was a thing there that said, meet me at the clock. I mean, that is a world-renowned clock. That one is even on the set of SNL, too. In the middle of the main terminal, we need them. And PJ on the live stream says, the Allen Bradley clock has entered the chat.
There you go. Is the Allen Bradley clock accurate? It's got four faces. Because there was a long period of time where the Allen Bradley clock was not accurate.
I bet you now. I'm going
to
check.
Not to get in trouble here, but I'm just saying.
Is the Allen Bradley
855-752-4842. Yes, we're breaking down the big issues of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we need clocks in public? Bring this up because I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago, and over the almost 8 hours we were there sequestered, there were three clocks hanging up and two of them didn't work. And I just started thinking about whether or not we actually need clocks in public anymore because everybody's got a smartphone or a smartwatch or a watch. There's still people who wear watches. Personally, I love clocks. Listener on WFHR, I love clocks and I look for them. I have clocks in my house that my children made and that were given as retirement gifts. Have you ever been to Spillville, Iowa to see Billy Clock?
Okay, road trip.
Beautifully carved wooden clocks about the history of our country. That sounds fascinating. Michael from Wauwatosa listening in Madison on WMDX. Yes, to clocks in public. Phones and smartwatches run out of power, and you need to know what time it is. Also, Brian from Milwaukee, on Margaritaville at Sea, the cruise ship clocks are all set to 5 o'clock.
Oh, we used to, at Lakefront Brewery, we used to sell a clock that was all fives.
It's always 5 p.m. somewhere.
It's always 5 p.m.
855-752-4842. Clocks in public, yes or no? Are we pro or con?
Can someone just take the anti-clock side? I want to hear what your arguments against clocks are.
Cam is anti-clock.
They
cause me to pass out because when I want time to go faster, I hold my breath. And the second hand moves incrementally quicker, but it risks me passing out.
Albert Einstein would have something to say about that theory.
Clocks are not your enemy, Kim.
No.
They're not your enemy.
No.
Clocks in public, yay or nay. Beverly from Richland Center is on the phone. Good morning, Beverly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I had my Medicare checkup this morning, and one of the things that they always ask us old folks, they give us a clock face and say, okay, put in the hands for 10 minutes after 11. And since I never see analog clocks anymore, it gets harder and harder every year to do that.
I never even thought about that, Beverly. So they make you actually move the hands on a clock to prove that you're still cognizant?
No, they give you a paper, they put a circle on it and say, okay, put the numbers in and then put the hands on for the time of 11:10.
And that does that for what reason?
They're trying to make sure you still got your cognitive ability.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a little check on how you're doing.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Beverly. Really appreciate that. Well, and I thought one of our earlier callers had a good point, too, about not every kid has a smartwatch. Not every kid has a smartphone.
Well, I mean.
And I never even thought about teaching them how to tell time.
I learned about that a few years ago when one of my coworker's son came in and he asked me what time it was and I showed him my watch and he goes, I can't read that. And he was 14.
Wow.
And I think that's something that kind of falls now on the parents to do. If you want to teach them how to read a traditional clock and then do cursive. But Tom on the text line, this is great. All the George Webb restaurants had two clocks.
Yep.
One was always ahead of the other. It was explained to me that back in the day, you weren't allowed to be open 24 hours a day. Therefore, since 1 o'clock was behind the other, they would
1 minute behind the other.
1 minute behind the other. They weren't open 24 hours a day.
West for Middleton, too. Any institution or profession in which time is a vital piece of information, hospitals, transportation, use clocks. Clocks are vital. And they need to stay in public places. Thank you, Wes. Thanks.
Clocks win!
Thanks for checking in on this, everybody. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Hanky Spanky Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Judge Brad Schimel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same, 855, whether you want to call or text, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow is back from Up North News Radio. Pat's going to be here to help us kick around the news from 10:30 to 11. In hour number two tomorrow, we're going to learn about road salt.
We just cover all the exciting stuff.
Well, this is important.
I know.
When we talk about the amount of salt that gets on the roads and then leaches into our water systems. So Allison Madison is going to be joining us talking road salt.
Heck yeah. And honestly, it is very interesting, especially when you talk about like brining salts too.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's all on the way tomorrow. And then Wednesday, now a monthly segment. Looking forward to this. A lot going on. Darren Von Ruden will be here. Mm-hmm. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And I'm sure he's been hearing plenty of things from fellow farmers as Donald Trump continues to threaten tariffs.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Darren Von Ruden. That is coming up on Wednesday. Right now, though, at 11:53, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg at me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. The headline reads, Florida man games return for round two as teams vie to be the world's worst superhero. Well done to Daniel Kozin, who has the byline on this. The Florida man games are back for round two. Teams from around the state trying to prove they have what it takes to join the ranks of the world's worst superhero. After the success of last year's inaugural Florida Man Games, it was moved to the St. John's County Fairgrounds so they could have more spectators and tailgating. Teams from around the state, from Fort Myers to Pensacola, competed. Last year's winner, Team Hanky Spanky, we're returning to defend their snakeskin championship belt. Also competing this year, the all-female team called the Ballbusters.
Of course.
Croy Bruns, a 29-year-old who works for Dave & Buster's, took part in the weaponized pool noodle competition.
What?
Mr. Bruns has lived in Florida his whole life with the tattoos to show for it. He says he believes that a true Florida man never prepares for the games.
That's I get that. That's a very Florida thing to say.
According to Mr. Bruns, they're just born ready to be great. They're born ready for the trophy, and they're ready for the title, and each year someone new has to be born for it. He says the Florida Man Games are something you won't find anywhere else. You got that right, and we're glad for that.
I was going to say, and thankfully.
Mm-hmm. We've got the Olympics. They've been around forever, but yep, they don't have gator tossing. Can't argue with that.
I'm just going to say this. Nature always wins.
They don't have a contest where you've got to hold your beer and fight someone at the same time.
You've never been to my family reunions.
Beyond just watching the sporting events, guests can also get into some Florida Man shenanigans themselves, including riding a mechanical alligator and the ever-popular lawnmower racing, hosted by NASCAR driver Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you think anyone, like, gets endorsement deals on anything from this? Like, five-hour energy drink?
There's
or
so much potential there.
Four Loko?
There is so much potential there. This is on brand for the way I thought it would be, said the ring announcer, Chade Durina. It's the right level of grimy, extravagance, and debaucherousness. It's exactly what I want. It's a lot of people day drinking, a lot of people getting sunburnt. A lot of people just partying and acting foolish in the best way. So next year, there's time. You can prepare for it for next year.
Yeah, we should do. We should think of our Wisconsin.
The version of?
Version of.
The Florida Man Games?
Not like a lumberjack thing, but like take their Florida Games and what's Wisconsin's idea of that one?
We could do that.
We could do that.
We can do that.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we get back, it will be Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8, Pat Kreitlow back early morning 6 to 8 on Up North News Radio, and Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world, and it makes it so much more fun. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8.
Earl
Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week. And then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the 4 main things to help us balance. How I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Robert Cremo, the man charged with shooting and killing 7 people at a July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois in 2022, pleads guilty just as testimony was due to begin at his trial.
Everything was very eerily calm, almost, and every answer that Cremo gave to the questions that the judge was presenting him with were just yes or no.
CBS Chicago's Sabrina Franza. At least 2 people are dead after a driver drove a car into a party crowd in Mannheim, Germany. The BBC's Danny Eberhard says a suspect is in custody.
Mannheim at the moment is celebrating Carnival. There's today in Germany is Rosenmontag. It means sort of Rose or Pink Monday. It's an important day in the Carnival calendar.
Fired workers at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration rally.
Our rally was picked up by a right-wing blogger who said the terminated employees could easily find a job in the private sector.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.